today on Real Radio.
Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Student of the Bible Market, he's coming to sit on his throne of glory.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a series called You Need to Know all about the future things. Now, one of the keystone aspects of our faith is that Jesus literally will return to earth and rule for 1,000 years. It's a period called the millennium. When Jesus does return, the Bible says that he will return physically, he'll receive his throne, and that he will rule forever. Pastor Jack takes us through several books of the Bible that reference the millennium in order for us to gain a greater understanding of what we believe and why we believe it. Now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He's going to roar from Zion. His voice is going to be uttered from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. The Lord will be as shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Canada. No, what's it say? Israel. You've got to have an Israel before he returns. How close are we to his coming? Secondly, he's going to reveal himself to the nations of the world. When Christ returns, he will reveal himself to Israel and the nations of the world. And that second coming, when that occurs, Jesus will rescue Israel and he'll judge the nations. I mentioned this to you before. Some of you asked where that was. It will take 75 days. The Bible says 75 days the Messiah will judge the nations of the world while he sits upon the throne in the establishment of his kingdom. In other words, he cleans house. He arranges the furniture. What do these people call it, these decorators now? Staging. Stage. I'd like to have my house staged. Well, so will God. He's going to come back and he's going to say, I'm going to stage the earth right now. It's going to take him 75 days. Book of Daniel chapter 12 tells you that. 75 days, he will be fulfilling Matthew chapter 25, separating, as it were, the sheep from the goats as he gathers the nations. Some will live into the kingdom, and some will be taken into judgment. What's the judgment criteria of the nations? How they treated his brethren. This is that famous passage in Matthew 25 when it says, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. Remember that? I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. We should all do those things to everybody who's in need. But the true theological application is Jesus is challenging the nations. When my brethren in the earth, he's talking about the Jews, when they were dispersed, when they were cast out, when they were hiding, Jesus said, I'm going to judge the nations, and I'm going to separate those who would have hidden me, because if they would, they've done that to my brethren during this time. Those who were kind to Israel live into the kingdom age. Those who were not go to judgment, Luke chapter 17 says, beginning at verse 33. That's not on the screens. It just fell out of my head. You can read that later. He's going to judge the nations. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds. This is the second coming, not the rapture, second coming. Every eye will see him. Not a few, not a select group, not just the church. Every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him. And all the tribes, that's nations of the earth, will mourn because of him. Not a happy day. Even so, amen. Listen to this. In case you don't know who he's talking about, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Every one of those titles of Jesus are found in the Old Testament. They're all, every one of them is a description of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every one of those. The I am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Think of that. He's coming to the nations. Joel chapter 2, verse 31 tells us what that day will be like. Now, I'm probably going to upset some people here, but I'm sorry, doctrine is the big deal. What? Are you ready?
Yes.
Joel 2:31 says, "Then shall the sun be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." It's the second coming. I know a lot of sweet people running around about the blood moon thing. You show me in the Bible where there's four blood moons mentioned in the Bible. You can't. The Bible says at the end of the tribulation period, the sun will not shine and the moon will look like blood. Not moons, moon. At the same time, listen, the sun cannot shine its light. It won't be able to shine its light, and the moon will be as blood. So when we talk about these atmospheric appearances, God is exact. He's not kind of around, sort of. He's exact. And when he says the moon, he's talking about a moon, and at the exact same time, when that moon at the end of the tribulation period looks like blood, the same day, the sun cannot shine. The sun will not shine. You got that? You get that, everybody?
Yes.
So I'm going to get all kinds of hate mail because I have friends who've written books on this topic, and I love these guys, but it's like timing's a little off. You won't have to guess if it's judgment. Yeah, the world will know. The world will know. And it's a singular event, mind you. That was a little rabbit trail there for you. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." Student of the Bible market, he's coming to sit on his throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but on the goats on his left. Then the king, you will not be in this judgment, ladies and gentlemen. The church will have no part of this. Then he will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." That's the millennium. Verse 41, skip down to verse 41. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That's Jesus' judgment of the nations. Third and final argument is this: Jesus, the Son of God, the Jesus of the Bible, gloriously, will you mark that down? Gloriously reveals his authority or sovereignty from heaven. Gloriously rules forever. He's going to gloriously rule forever. And I wanted to put, I got to tell you, in my notes earlier writing this out, and it was early this morning when I wound up saying, I don't know, because I had the word sovereignly rules forever, and that's kind of redundant, is it not? Sovereignly rules forever. And then I started looking up the characteristics of the rule of Jesus Christ, and I found something very exciting. Are you with me? Track this. You've heard this verse 1,000 times here, but it came up again in my study, and this is kind of cool, and you know this. Proverbs 29, I think it's 29 verse 2, says that when the wicked are in power, the people groan. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Listen, the literal fulfillment of that, you are not only living it right now, and I'm not talking about the Obama administration, I'm not talking about the Brown administration, Jerry Brown, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about human government, period, all of it. You can put the Brown in with the Obama and the everything into the big pot of human government in the earth, and listen, the world is groaning. If there's any Greeks listening right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Greece is upside down, inside out, messed up. Human government fails, people groan. What's the answer? What's the answer? People are asking. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Yes. Right? And listen, it's amazing because here's the answer. When the righteous is empowered, the people rejoice. That is the characteristic of his sovereign reign. Joyously. This is good news for us. Amen. Why? Because listen, for that 1,000-year reign, joy will fill the earth. Yeah. You know what joy is, you guys? You know what it is? Joy is not happiness. Joy is winning the lotto, man. I mean, it's going down to Vegas and winning the big prize. No, it's not. You think that's joy? No, the IRS thinks that's joy. That's not winning. Happiness is, how are things going? Yesterday was a perfect day. Did you feel the temperature? Breeze, clouds. I was happy. It was a nice day. Your happiness and my happiness is rigged to happenstance. That's where it comes from. Whatever's happening, if it's good, I'm happy. If whatever's happening is not good, I'm not happy. That's why happiness goes like this. That's okay. It's supposed to. Happiness is like a roller coaster. It's all right. Joy is like this. Joy is just like this. Bombs going off, perfect, beautiful day, starving to death, feasting, ISIS, whatever. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you understand that? That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not like this. Oh, you know, roller coaster, white knuckle. Nope. Joy, the joy of the Lord is like this. When Christ comes to rule, there's going to be joy in the earth, the Bible says. Joyously. And that's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I want to give you this thought. When you look up the word sovereign, by the way, or sovereignty, the synonyms for sovereignty, we don't often think of this. It's interesting, at least for Hebrew language. Freely, well, we get that, sovereign, freely. Independently, exclusively, sovereign or sovereignly, alone, originally. But listen, there's the word joy. The biblical sovereignty of God is joy. It's a kingdom of joy. Does that kind of freak you out for a moment? I want you to just think for a moment. The 1,000-year reign of Christ, you and I will be ruling and reigning with Christ. There'll be people on earth, the Bible says, I told you this last time, remember, when a man dies at what age? 100, he'll be as though a child or a baby dies. Longevity begins to return to the earth like in the days of Adam. But this is different than you and I. You and I will be ruling with Christ. We're not going to be subject to our mortal bodies. And he and his rule, his sovereignty, will be the joy of the whole earth, says the Bible. Animals are going to rejoice. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Romans, animals are groaning right now, waiting for our redemption. Did you know that? Everything that you and I need. This is touchy. Listen, everything that you and I need is in Jesus. I'll explain this in closing. I'll go so far to say this carefully. Everything you and I want is actually in Jesus. You say, what? Want? What I mean by that is this. It's human nature to want to be accepted, for example. It's human nature to want to be loved. It's human nature to love. Did you know it's human nature to communicate? The only reason why you today may not want to communicate is because you've had a twisted upbringing like the rest of us. Don't look at me like that. We've all come from dysfunctional homes. But God made you a social creature. Why? God is social. Is that something? He communicated to us the gospel. We would have been walking this globe dumb, blind, deaf. And he intervened. He came down. Talk with us. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is the Word of God? The word is logos. Jesus Christ is the communication of God. That's why the book of Revelation is the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Now listen, I want you to meditate as we begin to land this airplane here. He will rule with righteousness and it will be joyous. He will decree the right decisions that need to be made in the earth. Does that warm your heart? Oh, it does me too. He will rule with authority. The age we're living in right now, this you guys get this, what I'm about to say. It's third service that doesn't get it. Well, because there's a lot of young people and they don't like what I'm about to say. But you see, this he will rule in authority. The young generation hates that word. The millennials despise this word authority. And they despise authority. When Christ comes, he's going to rule in authority and it is awesome and it's joyous. The human nature is to throw it off. That's a dangerous thing. He'll rule in righteousness, he'll rule in authority. The Bible tells us that he's going to rule by love. Human nature and human government and human rule never mix well. They never have. That's the history of man. Unless, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting in a 239-year-old experiment. It was called an experiment then. It's called an experiment now. Why? And again, this is what is meant by American exceptionalism. It doesn't mean that Americans, their noses, they're arrogant, or that people. It means that we live in something that is unique in all of the Earth's history. Well, this nation's messed up. Of course it's messed up. Whenever humans are involved, it's going to be messed up. Okay? Get over it. Here's the deal. It's the closest thing the world has ever seen to a good government. How'd that happen? Because as I said, humans and government, or humans and authority, never work well, never mixed well, because it always goes to the human's head. The only way it worked for these last 239 years, and I don't know how long it's going to work after this, but as long as you have a healthy fear of God in your life. I forget his first name, you may remember, but Rochambeau. Remember Rochambeau? He came during the colonial period from France. He didn't know who George Washington, he knew the name George Washington, but he didn't know, he had never met him, so he's trying to find him, And he said when he saw him at a distance, he knew exactly who he was. Nobody had to tell him. Because he said, it wasn't that he was 6'3" and 205 pounds. He was a massive Virginian. He said, that wasn't it. What was it was that he said, I had seen the kings of Europe, and not one of them was as regal as that man on the battlefield. He said that all the kings of Europe combined looked like a valet, next to Washington. A man who, when you walked into the room, people recorded in history, there would be a hush. And you know, he rarely ever talked in public. Did you know that? Very quiet man. You say, what are you saying? What are you talking about? I'm talking about a man who was so respected, first in war, first in freedom, first in the hearts of his countrymen. Ooh, whoa, whoa. Ooh, wow. Boy, there must have been an associated eagle with that too. Well, probably he's human. But it's also recorded that when they were not engaged in battle, Washington would wake his troops up at 5 a.m. They would march. They would break camp. They would march for 10 miles, break for breakfast, and he would retreat from about 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. in prayer and Bible reading in his tent. And all the troops knew it. And he came out not 6 feet tall. He came out with his face in the dust. That's authority. Didn't the centurion say to Jesus, you just speak the word, and my servant will be made well, because I'm a man under authority, and I say this, and I go and do it. And I know you, Jesus, if you say it, it'll be done. The greatest authority is to realize that you're not the authority. I wouldn't follow anybody unless they're capable of being led. Does it make sense? He rules by love. God does not prostitute your heart. Listen, you don't want to be in his kingdom? You don't have to be in his kingdom. He wants you there. He wants you to have joy in your life. He wants you to know that you're loved. But if you don't want him, he's a perfect gentleman. He's very soft-spoken, you know. There will be a day when he roars from Zion, yes, and his voice utters from Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, it's coming. But right now he speaks ever so softly and gently. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. Will you circle the word conveyed? He conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 1, 13. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The word conveyed here, I want you to have this? It means to transport. Listen carefully. To transport. He transported us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. To transfer, to carry off or away to. Listen to this. Listen to this. It's precious. To replace or to take away one thing for another. Jesus took the darkness out of our hearts, Christian. He took the hate out of our hearts. He took the fear out of our hearts. And He's instilled love. Listen, the word in the negative meaning of the word means to be seduced. It's the same word in Greek to be seduced. In the negative, in the positive, it means to be shown the best path. I love that. I even love the contradiction. I want Christ to seduce my heart. I want Him to conquer me. I want Him, listen, I want Him through the Word of God to woo me into His kingdom. You say, oh, but Jack, the kingdom's coming. That's exactly where I wanted to land here today. No, 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 no. Listen, the kingdom is coming. Why wait? Why wait when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand? Listen, Jesus says the kingdom of God, if you're a believer, is inside of you. Okay, now we have a problem here, or do we? Is He contradicting the Bible? Or does He know something we're trying to learn? Is the kingdom coming or not? Yes, it is. In its physical manifestation on earth? Yes. Well, is it here now? Yes, in you. Are you a believer? Yes. Here's the deal. He rules by love. The love of God, defined by God. I want to read to you A.W. Tozer and we'll end. Listen carefully. And in the context of His kingdom being in you, and you being born again, new. Tozer, quote, "You and I in little, our sins accepted, is what God is in large. Being made in His image, we have within us the capacity to know Him. In our sins, we lack only the power. The moment the Holy Spirit has quickened us to life and regeneration, our whole being," listen, judge yourself this morning. Has this happened to you? Please judge yourself right now. "In regeneration, our whole being senses its kinship to God. It leaps up in joyous recognition. That is the heavenly birth without which we cannot see the kingdom of God. It is, however, not an end, but an inception. For now begins the glorious pursuit, the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Godhead. Here it begins, but where it ends, no man has yet discovered." When you read words like that, that's biblically accurate, there's something inside the believer that it strikes you with a holy lust. God, draw me into Your presence. Pull me into You.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. It's one in a series that focuses on what God's written word says about eschatology, and in this case, a special emphasis on the second coming of Jesus. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies. He calls it You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Now, by the way, did you know that if by chance you miss an episode of Real Radio, you can simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And you'll find the messages right there, easy to access. The You Need to Know series, by the way, is especially important now because through the doctrines of God, it helps us to understand what we believe and why we believe it. So if you missed an episode, be sure to refer back and pick up what you might have missed. Once again, go to our website. You'll find all the info right there, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And while you're there, don't forget to click around a little bit and find out more about this ministry. It's a great website. We hope you'll spend some time there. And before you close out of the window, be sure you click on the Devotions tab. Pastor Jack has some great devotions. It comes to you every Monday morning in your inbox. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.